For the Word of God is living and operative and sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing asunder between the soul and spirit and the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest before him, but all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Let's pray. Gracious God, our Father, what a solemn moment this is when we deal with the question of time and eternity, of the salvation of lost souls. Father, we don't know how many might be here in this room and still not ready to meet Thee. We pray, Father, for help tonight as we open Thy Word and speak from it. Thy Spirit may be at liberty to press home Thy precious Word to the heart and conscience. There would be lasting blessing. We pray and give thanks, Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians 5. Verse 19. God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he, that's God, hath made him, that's Jesus, to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. We have in these verses the story of the gospel. God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. God did not need to be reconciled to the world. It was we who were sinners that needed to be reconciled to God. But we have done absolutely nothing to be reconciled to God. It was God that acted on his own behalf, that to lay the groundwork so that we could be reconciled to God. Wonderful story of God's grace. Story I'm sure every one of us has heard again and again. But you know what? I find there is power in simplicity of the message of the cross of Christ. Simply to present it. Nothing new, but always true. Wonderful message of the cross of Christ. God was in Christ. The Lord Jesus is the Son of God. He always was the Son of God. He never became at a point in time the Son of God. He is the eternal Son in the bosom of the Father. There was a point of time in which he became a man. He became incarnate. It was necessary because God as such cannot die. He is immortal. And so to be able to reconcile this world to Himself, it was necessary that death should take place. And so God sent His only Son, and He came into this world as a little baby boy. Oh, the marvel of it! The glorious Son of God, born in Bethlehem. You know, it must have been a wonder to the angels as they came down and viewed their Creator for the first time. God in His essence is invisible to any creature. And so the angels had never seen their Creator before Jesus came into this world. But when He came into this world, nobody seemed to know what had happened. The tremendous event that had taken place, they were totally ignorant. There were people that had the Bible in their hands, at least the Old Testament scriptures. They could answer the questions as to where He was to be born. They had no clue that the Creator of the universe had entered into His own creation in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, a little baby. And they told His poor mother that she could go out into the stable where the animals were, and there she gave birth to the Lord Jesus Christ. And the angels came down, and I'm sure they must have wondered, where are these people? Don't they have a clue as to this tremendous fact? And they go out to try to find somebody to give the news to. And the only ones they could find that were out and about were some poor shepherds up in the countryside. And they came and gave them the news. Wonderful news that this day has been born unto you a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Oh, what a wonderful story it is. But what a tremendous thing it is when the Creator of the universe came into this world. There He was in a stable, and His mother wrapped Him in swaddling clothes and laid Him in the manger. Oh, the story, what a story. And so the Lord Jesus passed through this world relatively unknown. There were a few who recognized Him. I think we have the names of six people who were waiting for Him. Of course, Joseph and Mary. And then there was Zacharias and Elizabeth, the parents of John the Baptist. And then there was a Simeon. And there was an Anna. And it says that Anna spoke to Him of all those that looked for salvation in Jerusalem. So there were a few, but the vast majority were totally asleep. You know, I just wonder if that's what it's going to be like on the Lord's second coming. You believe in the Lord's second coming? Do you really believe it? Does it show in your life that you believe it? Oh, the Lord grant that these things may not be simply so much knowledge stored up in the head. They may be a real, practical, living reality to us. God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself. The Lord Jesus went through the paths of this world, showing that God is light and that God is love. People didn't appreciate the light that showed them their condition. I get all muddy, and I'm out in the dark. I might not appreciate somebody coming up to me and say, "Hey man, you're all muddy." But that's the truth of the matter, and the more I get into the light, the more it's going to become evident that I'm all muddy. The light shows that which is our condition. And that's what people did not appreciate about the Lord Jesus. The religious people were the first that were at enmity with Him. They were the ones that arrested him, had him arrested, and took him to Pontius Pilate to condemn him to the death of the cross. Pilate recognized that there was a man that was totally innocent of all the charges they brought against him. And yet, because he was a real politician, he accepted the will of the people and condemned the Lord Jesus to the death of the cross. The most awful death. If you study the history of this world, the different forms of capital punishment that were executed on people, almost the worst type of execution was crucifixion. And so the glorious Son of God was taken and condemned to the death of the cross. He was delivered to the soldiers, and the soldiers beat him with their fists. They crowned him with thorns. Pilate had him scourged, even though he knew he was innocent. Read a book about Roman scourging, and they called it the living death. Criminals often did not survive scourging. They scourged Jesus, and then they laid the cross on him to take it outside the city of Jerusalem. He was replaced by another man, Simon the Cyrenian. But when they got to Calvary, there they took the Lord's blessed hands that had extended such mercy and blessing to mankind, nailed them to the cross, and his feet, there he hung between heaven and earth. The glorious Son of God, the Creator of the universe. What a story. What a story. There he hung from 9 o'clock in the morning, the way we calculate time, till 3 o'clock in the afternoon. When he died, he hung in life. The first 3 hours, he was object of the ridicule and scorn of the people around. He said prophetically in the Psalms, "Reproach has broken my heart, and I am full of heaviness. And I looked for some to take pity, and there was none, and for comforters, but I found none." They said, if he's the Son of God, let God deliver him. Did God deliver him? No. It broke his heart. You know, these are not the atoning sufferings that we're talking about, but they are very real. And they show how much he loved us. Nothing could staunch the fountain of love in his heart. Then came the noontime. And the scripture tells us that for 3 hours it was dark and there was silence on that center cross for 3 solid hours. If it were not for the testimony of scripture, we wouldn't know what happened. But Isaiah the prophet tells us very clearly, "He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed." In our verse here it says, "He hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." You know, we get kind of used to sin in our lives. We see it so much on every side, and we kind of get used to it. But here was a one who was intrinsically holy, the glorious, spotless, sinless Son of God. When the angel announced to the Virgin Mary that she was to be the mother of the Son of God, he said, "That holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God." He was holy, sinless, spotless, not only did he not sin, but he could not sin. Not only because he was God in the flesh, but because he was holy humanity, he could not sin. There he hung, the holy sin bearer, and in those 3 hours God laid on him